Good morning, and welcome to the webcast for Aegea Saneamento e Participações to discuss results for the third quarter and first 9 months of 2025. Joining us today is André Pires, CFO and Investor Relations Officer. This webcast is being recorded and offers simultaneous interpretation into English. Interpretation is available via the Interpretation button. For those listening in English, you can mute the original Portuguese audio by selecting Mute Original Audio. We'll begin with the results presentation, followed by Q&A. We'll share further instructions then. Before we proceed, please note that any statements made during this call regarding Aegea's business outlook, projections, and goals are management's beliefs and assumptions, and are not guarantees of future performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and refer to future events that may or may not occur. I will now turn the call over to André, our CFO, to begin the presentation. Please go ahead, André. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Aegea's earnings presentation. Let's start with slide 3, where we list our highlights. Looking at the Aegea ecosystem, which reflects the performance of the concessions we manage, we closed the first 9 months of 2025 with net revenue up 21% to 14.4 billion reais and EBITDA up 43% to 8.5 billion. This performance was driven by tariff adjustments, growth in billed volume, and higher PPP availability payments. It also benefited from a non-recurring recognition in Q2 2025 of PIS/COFINS credits at Corsan. Excluding this effect, Aegea ecosystem EBITDA grew 33% year-over-year. In the first 9 months of 2025, we invested 4.3 billion reais in network expansion projects and water and sewage infrastructure, as well as the startup of new operations. Another highlight is that we completed important funding transactions in Brazil and abroad. We executed the largest global corporate blue bond issuance, totaling $750 million with a 10-year tenor, issued debentures totaling 2.3 billion reais with a 7-year tenor. Part of the proceeds were allocated to liability management, extending average debt maturity from 7.2 to 7.5 years. In line with our strategy to expand and integrate sanitation services, we announced the acquisition of Ciclus Rio, a company that operates solid waste management in the state of Rio de Janeiro, where we already operate water and sewage concessions. This transaction is another step in consolidating Aegea's presence in the sector and in developing an integrated sanitation solution platform. Moving to slide 4, where we highlight some ESG initiatives. We started Águas do Pará's operations 4 months early for more than 2 million people, including the capital, Belém, host of COP30. This acceleration demonstrates our execution capabilities and ability to mobilize resources to deliver sanitation investments, prioritizing vulnerable areas such as the Stilt House community of Vila da Barca. For those most in need, we implemented a tariff exemption program that already covers more than 120,000 families in Pará. It's important to mention that across the 15 states and 892 municipalities where we operate, more than 2.5 million people benefit from tariff reductions or exemptions on their water and sewage bills through cross-subsidy mechanisms embedded in the contracts themselves. Operationally, we continue investing to reinforce water supply systems in our service areas, strengthening cities' resilience to droughts. I highlight investments in semi-arid and rural regions in Piauí, including well drilling, mobile water treatment units, new reservoirs, and deploying over 100 water trucks. These actions reinforce our commitment to service quality and to ensuring access to sanitation in every region where we operate, promoting health, quality of life, and shared prosperity. This has been possible through a combination of operational efficiency, tailored solutions for Brazil's diverse regions, tariff mechanisms that align bills with families' ability to pay, and financial discipline that enables continued access to funding for executing our business plan. Now, moving to slide 5. Before we dive into the results, we'll explain the two views we use in our materials, the financial statements and ecosystem views. In recent years, Aegea has become an investment platform in the sanitation sector, attracting capital in a structured way to support business expansion. In this context, corporate structures were developed that are not yet fully consolidated in the company's financial statements. Accordingly, both in this presentation and in our earnings release, we post and discuss results under two views. One, the financial statements view, i.e. as consolidated in our financial statements, and two, the ecosystem view, i.e. the ecosystem of companies managed by Aegea, which equals the financial statements view, plus Águas do Rio and Parçan, which are unconsolidated subsidiaries. Still on this slide, the charts at the bottom show the diversification of our ecosystem in terms of both net revenue and EBITDA. It's worth noting the contributions from Águas do Rio and Corsan, which represent respectively 37 and 25% of net revenue and 26 and 35% of EBITDA in the first 9 months of 2025. These assets were incorporated over the last 4 years. Moving now to slide 6, where we'll highlight operating results. Network expansion and the incorporation of new assets increased the number of households in the ecosystem by 10%, totaling 15 million households, while under the financial statements view, growth was 17%. As a result, billed volume in the quarter increased 7% in the ecosystem and 14% in the financial statements view. In the first 9 months of 2025, billed volume rose 5% of the ecosystem and 12% in the financial statements view, driven by the increase in households and the startup of some new operations. Turning to slide 7 to begin our comments about the financial discussion. Ecosystem net revenue reached 5.1 billion reais in Q3 25 and 14.4 billion reais in the first 9 months of 25, up 24% and 21% respectively. Growth was driven by higher PPP availability revenue, tariff adjustment, and higher billed volume. The company's average ticket, which considers water and sewage service revenue plus PPP revenue per household, increased 6.5% in the ecosystem view and 8.7% in the financial statements view, above the 12-month IPCA inflation, which was 5.17%. These increases reflect tariff adjustments and rebalancing implemented in the comparable periods. On the right side of the slide, under costs and expenses, in both the ecosystem and financial statements views, higher costs and expenses mainly reflect progress on PPP investments and the startup of new operations. This increase was partially offset by a reduction in expected credit losses at Águas do Rio, mainly due to aligning the provision to the portfolio's delinquency rate as commercial projects advance, accelerating customer conversion and regularizing supply, which in turn increased revenue collected. Management view OPEX per household over the last 12 months was 453 reais in ecosystem, a 6% reduction year over year, and 367 reais in the financial statements view, down 11%. This performance reflects our operating model focused on efficiency across all operations, as well as measures such as Corsan's voluntary severance program, migrating part of our power load to self-generation energy contracts, and procurement optimizations, among other initiatives. Now moving to slide 8 to discuss management's view of our cash flow and EBITDA. In the ecosystem view, EBITDA reached 2.9 billion reais in Q3 25, up 28.5%, and 8.5 billion reais in the first 9 months of 25, up 43%. In the financial statements view, EBITDA rose 26% in Q3 25 and 39% in the first 9 months of 25. The results of the first 9 months of the year include the positive impact from PIS/COFINS credits at Corsan, which was recognized in Q2 25 and fully used to offset tax payments, boosting cash generation. Excluding these credits, EBITDA in the first 9 months of 25 increased 33% in the ecosystem view and 26% in the financial statements view, underscoring the pace of the company's organic growth, as there was no material contribution from new assets for comparison purposes. The increase in cash generation, shown on the right side of the slide, reflects higher revenue collected and lower cash taxes, as we just discussed. Now moving to slide 9, where we present net income and CapEx. In Q3 25, net income reached 398 million reais in the ecosystem and 424 million reais in the financial statements view. In the first 9 months of 25, net income was 1.8 billion reais in ecosystem, up 51.5%, and 1.7 billion reais in financial statements view, up 17.7%. The results of the first 9 months of the year were also impacted by PIS/COFINS credits, as mentioned. Excluding this impact, the first 9 months of 25 net income grew 2.4% in the ecosystem view and declined 23% in financial statements view, which was affected by Brazil's high interest rate environment. CapEx in the first 9 months of 25 reached 4.3 billion reais in ecosystem and 3.3 billion reais in financial statements view, which is up 18% and 31.5% respectively, with an emphasis on projects to expand wastewater coverage and the startup of new operations. Now moving to slide 10 to discuss Águas do Rio and Corsan's results, which together account for more than 60% of Aegea Ecosystem's EBITDA. Commercial programs and operating improvements at Águas do Rio have consistently increased revenue collected and accelerated customer conversion. As a result, the expected credit losses ratio declined. This, combined with tariff adjustments, more than offset the decline in billed volume, consistent with stricter connection cuts, leading to an increase in the EBITDA margin to 34%. Net income decreased 7% to 350 million reais in year-to-date due to higher financial expenses. CapEx was 1.1 billion reais year-to-date, down 9.5%, mainly due to the completion of certain phases of the Vem com a Gente program and improvements to water and sewage systems, especially in the capital. However, if we compare Q3 25 with Q2 25, CapEx increased 28% with the start of new projects, focused mainly on expanding coverage and reducing water losses. On the right side of the slide, talking about Corsan's results, it posted a 45% increase in the year-to-date EBITDA, with a 64% EBITDA margin and net income above 2 billion reais. These figures already exclude the impact of PIS/COFINS credits, as is mentioned on the slide. This improvement reflects efficiency measures, including the voluntary severance program, higher billed volume, and tariff adjustments. Corsan's CapEx was 1.4 billion reais in year-to-date, up 15%, with most investments directed to projects expanding wastewater coverage. Now moving to slide 11 to discuss Aegea's capital structure. We ended the quarter with pro forma net debt of 41.4 billion reais and leverage measured as net debt over EBITDA at 3.7 times in the ecosystem view, It's worth noting that in Q4 24, we paid 4.2 billion in grant fees, including the final installment of the Rio de Janeiro concession auction of 3.8 billion reais, which temporarily lifted our leverage to 4.3 times at year end. In other words, as we've previously noted, this quarter we continued on the path to deleveraging the company. In the financial statements view, where the group's financial debt covenants are tested, leverage was 2.9 times, remaining well below the most restrictive covenant limit of 4.0 times net debt EBITDA. Looking at the chart on the bottom left of the slide, which shows the trend in average debt maturity and ecosystem leverage, we can see leverage spikes coinciding with the years of relevant grant fee payments, as was the case in 2024. Keeping leverage at comfortable and manageable levels is a foundation of the company's strategy, including when evaluating new growth opportunities. Average debt maturity in the ecosystem was 7.2 years in Q3 25. Considering the liability management transactions executed in October, that is, the local debentures with a 7-year tenor and international bonds with a 10-year tenor, average maturity was increased to 7.5 years. This concludes the presentation, and we're now ready to take your questions. Thank you. Thank you. We will now begin the Q&A session for analysts and investors. To submit a question, please send it in writing using the Q&A icon, including your name and company. Questions will be addressed in the order in which they are received. Please hold while we collect questions. I'll start reading the questions now. The first one is from Roberto Duque from Banco ABC. Two questions. First, can you give us more detail about Águas do Rio's connection cut strategy and how effective these cuts have been in recovering receivables? And second, what is your appetite for new sanitation auctions? Well, Duque, regarding the connection cut strategy, we have been intensifying them as a way to continue converting customers. Just to recall a few numbers, when we took over Águas do Rio in November 2021, we inherited from SEDAI, and thinking in terms of service connections, which I find easier to visualize, around 900,000 connections with a delinquency rate of about 35%. And today we're operating with a base of roughly 1.7 million connections. So we practically doubled the number of connections with the delinquency rate between those two blocks around 15%. So basically, we move the commercial programs, we roll them out across multiple regions, especially with the Vem com a Gente program, while pushing customer conversion. Connection cuts are an important tool to calibrate and support these commercial programs to drive customer conversion. So I would say that the cuts have been effective, as seen in the declining delinquency rate in the provisions that we book. Just to give you another important statistic, since we came in November 2021, our billing is up 50% cumulatively, but our revenue collected has doubled. So the revenue collected curve has grown much faster than billing. And this shows quicker conversion of billing into cash. So connection cuts are one of the key tools we use to optimize this customer portfolio. On appetite for new sanitation auctions, this is consistent with our history. We've been growing not only organically through investments in our assets, which are maturing, they are still maturing, I should mention, but also by evaluating other options coming to market. And we always measure our approach to these topics, and they have two main filters. We need returns that meet our targets and our shareholders' expectations for returns. So the auction model must deliver returns in line with those we get from our in-house assets. And especially, we must have the right capital structure. And we are still in a high interest rate environment. And this is a capital intensive business. So capital structure is critical for us. Our focus remains on deleveraging. So if we look from December 2024, when the ecosystem's net debt EBITDA stood at 4.3 times, we have reduced it consistently quarter after quarter. And with this release in Q3, we're now at 3.7 times. So if a transaction fits our balance sheet without altering the deleveraging path we're on and offers adequate returns, we'll look at it. And any transformational deal certainly would absolutely require additional sources of capital so as not to strain the balance sheet. That's the philosophy that we defend, and it's what we follow. Once again, questions can be submitted in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect the questions. I'd like to comment about Jordan's question from PDGM, which is very similar to Roberto Dunque, asking for updates on new concessions we are either bidding for or intending to bid. I believe that I did mention this about our philosophy in my prior answer. But just to answer anyway, we monitor opportunities and will participate if and when they meet those characteristics. Now we have two related questions from Gabriel Marchioli at UCAM. What is the status of unifying the cash flows of Águas do Rio blocks 1 and 4, and another from Frederico at Quantitas. How are the financial rebalance processes at Águas do Rio progressing? Which ones are most relevant, and is there a near-term upside? And on this topic, many of you followed the process. In line with the concession contract, in October 2024, we completed an assessment and submitted a report on the shortfalls in wastewater coverage metrics versus the contract. We filed these differences with the regulator and the grantor, and it was confirmed both by our report. And then it was subsequently investigated and also confirmed by an independent verifier that there were differences. And so we then signed a settlement agreement at the end of 2024 to remedy this imbalance. And with the indication at that time that the rebalance would occur via additional tariff increases. During 2025, we negotiated with, again, with the regulator, the grantor, and SEDAI to reach affordable rates and avoid burdening consumers. And in that second settlement agreement, besides a smaller tariff adjustment, there was a discount on bulk water purchases as a form of compensation to compensate for those imbalances. The applicability of that discount was questioned by the State Court of Accounts, the TCE, and is under administrative review. Because of that, when we had to announce on November 1st the tariff adjustments for 2025, which are effective December 1st, we reverted to the earlier settlement, which had already been approved by the regulator, and basically announced that adjustment. And now we await the court's decision to potentially return to a structure that we believe is more reasonable, producing a more balanced contract and better consumer impact. That is the second settlement, including the bulk water discount. In short, the matter is under discussion. And so it's important to note that you may have read some headlines, but at no point is Águas do Rio's right to this rebalance ever being questioned. Not at all. The debate is actually about the most appropriate implementation and assurance of that right. Once again, questions can be sent in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect the questions. We have a question from Kaiki at New Asset. We saw higher expected credit losses at Águas do Rio this quarter versus Q2 2025. Is this the provision level you intend to carry in the coming quarters, around 15% of revenue? I'd say that our view of a higher provision level relates to the fact that the adjustment to the adequate provision level was made specifically in Q2 2025. So when you project that out to the full year 2025, it is around 15% of revenue, as you mentioned. So this is a specific quarter-to-quarter adjustment to reach the current provision level, but 15% is a good estimate. Once again, questions can be sent in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect the questions. A question from Enrique at Atena Capital about Corsan, and personnel costs showed a significant reduction versus Q2 25. Is this the new recurring level? Is there room for further reductions in personnel? Enrique, I would say that this is the appropriate recurring level going forward. Yes. Of course, we continue to implement adjustments, but most of them, if not almost all of them, are complete now. In terms of the personnel expense run rate, it's about 40% lower than during Corsan's last period under public management, and it should remain close to that. We have not fully completed the headcount adjustments yet, but they're nearly finished. Next, Gustavo from Catu asks about the startup in Pará, the quality of the assets received, and how closely actuals align with the bid specifications. Well, let's say, in short, they are aligned. We advanced the start of operations in the Belém metropolitan region, that is Belém, Marituba, and Ananindeua. So we brought forward certain investments to ensure water quality and distribution, mainly. But yeah, I would say that this has matched our expectations pretty well, and also the bid specs. I mentioned this in some other settings, including some one-on-ones, that contract structures evolve over time. Contracts, especially those that are modeled by the BNDES, have improved based on lessons from prior concessions. So I'd say that the Pará contract is modern in that sense. It has important refinements and a strong adherence to what we're effectively receiving. Once again, questions can be submitted in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect the questions. Another question from Henrique at Tenacato about the current level of expected credit losses at Corsan, and if we expect it to be recurring. Well, Henrique, we are around 1%. And based on the customer portfolio profile, we believe that this level is recurring going forward. So, yes, 1%. Once again, questions can be submitted in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect the questions. Once more, questions can be submitted in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect the questions. Once again, questions can be submitted in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect questions. We have a question from Gabriel Dalcan on the decline in the margin percentage versus the previous quarter. In fact, there was no decline, Gabriel. In the previous quarter, what happened was we had the PiscoFins impact. So in Q3, if you exclude that non-recurring effect, the margin returns to today's level around 64%. This is mainly a base effect comparison. Once again, questions can be submitted in writing using the Q&A icon. Please hold while we collect questions. Thank you. The Q&A session is now closed. I will hand the call to André for the closing remarks. Well, we will keep developing innovative solutions and operating efficiently to enable sanitation investments across all regions of the country. We remain committed to improving infrastructure and expanding services, promoting health, quality of life, and sustainable development. This has a positive impact on people's lives and the environment. We remain attentive and disciplined in pursuing sector opportunities with financial rigor and a focus on value creation and shareholder returns, which are essential pillars for our growth agenda. Thank you all for joining us for this earnings presentation. We look forward to speaking with you next quarter. Thank you and have a great morning. IAGEA thanks everyone for participating. This results webcast is now concluded.